Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Thank you.
Good morning and top of the morning to all our listeners. You're welcome to another edition of Morning Dew. Father, we thank you, we bless your name, we appreciate you, we acknowledge you. There is none like our Redeemer. You are our shield, you are our buckler, you are our source, you are our sufficiency. You are the giver of life, you are the one that gives, and you are the one that takes it. We thank you for the breath that we have today and the privilege of seeing yet another new day. We just acknowledge you. Scripture says in all our ways we should acknowledge you, and you will surely direct our paths. We ask, Lord, for an abundance of your Spirit. We ask for his leading. We ask that he will direct and guide us in the way that we should go. We commit our session today unto you, Lord. We ask that you take total and full control. I want to thank you for all our listeners. I want to thank you for the journey thus far. Thank you for how far you brought us in the season that is 2026. We've gone through a quarter of the year already. Can you imagine? But you've been faithful. We believe confidently that you've begun this walk with us. Will see us through to the very end in the name of Jesus. Lord, we want to remember those who may not be with us today. For one reason or the other, wherever they are, we ask that your presence will tabernacle with them, will be with them, will strengthen them, refresh them. And at the end of it, Lord, let your name alone be glorified. Thank you, Father, for having heard us. To you alone be all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Good morning, lovely people. Welcome to another edition. Right, I think last session we're looking at establishing some foundation. You know, we said if the foundation is destroyed, what can a righteous do? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. So there's a definition of a righteous man: one has right standing with God, one who has authorization from the Lord to stand in the place of prayer, to intercede, be a representative, to govern within a jurisdiction. There's so many implications, and the effectual fervent prayer of such a man brings tremendous power to bear. So as we're looking into, you know, understanding the importance of being able to deploy the delegated authority and power that we have in the name of Jesus, we start off looking at the importance of the Word. Without the Word was nothing made that was made. And so the Word is God's change agent. We who are co-creators with him, we who are going to be ambassadors for Christ, we who would represent the kingdom and, you know, be entrusted with furthering the kingdom and advancing the kingdom and enforcing kingdom rule wherever we find ourselves in, have to be quite conversant with that change agent that God uses, his Word, the living Word. So without the Word was nothing made that was made. And so we peeped in a couple of scriptures, you know, to help us have an understanding, you know, of the importance of this tool. And that is from first mentions all the way in Genesis. We see that God used the Word. You know, talked about the earth was without form, it was void, but then God spoke. Okay, God released, you know, Rhema word into that atmosphere, and God spoke and God saw, and so it was. And we have the same protocol: first, second, third, fourth, sixth day. Then he created man, you know, in his own image and likeness. And he had already put everything that men would need upon the earth. And the Bible talks about, I can't remember the exact scripture, about staying that same, you know, creative atmosphere, that he held the rain till there was someone to manage. So there were resources, including the rain falling on what he had created. But he withheld that till there was one able to manage the resource. So God is looking for those with capacity to be resourceful, those that can manage, those that can rule and reign. And so there's an understanding, there's a need to understand the place of the Word, the authority and power in using the Word, the dynamics when it comes to creativity using the Word of God. I think it's John chapter 6, you know, and verse 63 says, "The words I speak to you, they are spirit and life." You know, some versions say it is the spirit that gives life. You know, the flesh profiteth nothing. and then the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So that's the NLV translation. So the couple of things there, it is the spirit that gives life. So we remember again that creation protocol. The earth was without form, it was void. God spake, the spirit brooded over it. All right, so the speaking of the word and the moving of the spirit, okay, brought about living life into that situation. The flesh profiteth nothing, and the words that I speak to you, they are spirits and they are life. The Lord grant us understanding in Jesus' name. And so because of how important that is, we started looking at, you know, the place of the word and why it's important for us who are going to be students of the word, who are going to step out in that capacity to be those resource agents that God can use to further the kingdom, to exercise authority, to be his official law enforcement agents, okay, to bring about change in situations and circumstances. We must be grounded in the word of God, okay? And then I think we looked at a couple of Psalms that helped us talk about delighting in the word of God and how it helps us in increasing our capacity to understand even much more than our teachers and much more than, you know, the ancients in some of the Psalms that we read, Psalm 119, I believe it was, you know. And so it's important to know that these things are written for our learning. So they were documented. It is a logos for us. But John chapter 6 verse 63 says the spirit. Okay. So the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So though we have the logos, there is a much higher form or dimension of the word, which is called a rhema. All right, so it takes you and journeys you into deeper understanding. It takes you into deeper insights into the context of which some of the words that are in logos are written and the original intent for which that word was given. And so that's why our study of the scripture is so vital. Okay, another scripture that helps us to understand why this is so essential, you know, we have in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, you know, and it says all scripture is God breath and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness. Now that's the way the NIV puts that across to us, 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. So all of scripture is God breath, so that we understand where it comes from, the ruach of God, the breath of God, okay? And it is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness. So we know that we have been declared the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So spiritually, that's a prophetic word as to who we are, declared already the righteousness of God. But scripture helps us in becoming more aware, more conscious of who we are from that prophetic declaration. All right, so I need to make that clear. Sometimes people will come across like we're maturing spiritually. You know, your spirit man has a status. You in your soulish realm, your mind is growing to come to an understanding of who you are in Christ, of who your spirit man is. It has been declared the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, this is so important because oftentimes when you look at this same processes from a religious standpoint, we tend to have a performance approach that that's what we are doing to become righteous. No, it's a finished work, it's a done deal. We are growing in our understanding of that finished work, of that reality. Now the King James Version of 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we see that inspiration of God as the source, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction an instruction in righteousness. So the other version said training in righteousness, instruction in righteousness. So these scriptures are God's breath, the Ruach of God has foreknown and is predestined, okay, and has put on this pattern, this path that we need to follow. He says, for whom he did foreknow, he predestined, and them who he predestined is called, that they should be conformed to the pattern that has been laid. So there's a pattern, there's a path set for us, so that we do not get misaligned, we do not go astray, and so we have to stay consistently in the study of the word, okay, to understand who it is we have been declared the righteousness of God, who it is we are in Christ, what has been made available to us. We've done some extensive study on the covenants, and that journey took us in understanding that there is a communication that our Maker, our Creator, the Monarch of the universe, has intended to communicate to his people from one generation to another. And he initiated this communication, these messages, to his people through covenant relationships. We know he's a covenant keeping God. He keeps his word, he keeps his covenant, he keeps his promises from one generation to another. And so knowing this and having this in our background, it's something that we can lean upon, it's something we can trust, it can be an anchor for the soul, you know. So I just thought that we'll recap on knowing the importance of the word. I think there's another scripture, can't remember the exact scripture now, but we're talking about know this first, that no prophecy came by human interpretation, but every man who prophesies was once again, the same word, inspired, moved upon by the Spirit to, you know, prophesy the living word of God. So there's the source, there's the inspiration that comes to men, either for them to speak through prophecy or to inscribe the words that we are reading today. And all these scriptures have been in God's breath, and they're useful for teaching, profitable for doctrine, for instruction in righteousness. So we can keep going back to them to check ourselves, to stay that we're on the right course, and that we're really understanding, not running with an assumption in our minds what we think the word is saying, but we'll be able to get a clear, precise, crisp understanding of the intent of that word towards us in every situation and in every circumstance. So without a shadow of doubt, the study of the word becomes a very vital discipline, you know, for us in going forward, in understanding who we are, the authority and power that's been given to us. So with a lot of emphasis on that, not to say that that's where we're going to stop, I just wanted to really push that out there so that we understand. So the study of the word becomes foundational. We said without the word was nothing made that was made, okay? If the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? The effectual fervent prayer of this same righteous man avails much. So if you understand who you are in Christ, if you understand your righteousness in Christ, okay, Jesus, if you understand what has been given to you as an inheritance, you understand the delegated authority and power that's been given to you, you understand the weapons available to you, you understand your covenant blessings, your covenant rights, and you know the inheritance that's been given to you, you are really well equipped, you know, as a righteous man to bring tremendous power to bear in every, you know, important, every situation and circumstance. The same can be said if you are not investing in the discipline of studying the word of God, if you are not, you know, conversant with the disciplines that keep you, what's the word I use, filled, so that you minister from an overflow. And we, you know, this is so important. So that brings me to our next discipline that I would like us to look at, and that has to do with, you know, praying from the secret place and why that's so important. You know, the Bible talks in different places, you know, that how Jesus woke up a while earlier, okay, several times he woke up before dawn and he went to have his quiet time. He had a secret place, Okay, it must be said here that there is literally no manifestation, no dominion in the public space without the power of the secret place, you know, propelling us that. And so it was in the life of Christ, and that's something we will have to learn in our course of our study, you know. So if you ponder for a moment, you know, we look at this very outstanding discipline, and we see that any failure of victory in the public space is always traceable, okay, to the secret place, the initial investment or the lack of it. So if we have invested time in his presence, invested time in the secret place to receive from him the download, the strategy, the instructions, okay, the rhema for that day, for that decision, for that assignment, then we find that we have a more powerful public ministration. And so that was the principle of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man of prayer. A great deal of the work that we see manifested on the outside in public, whether that was miracles, whether that was healing of people, whether it was raising the lame, all came from a strong secret place, a strong quiet place, a strong place of being still to know, okay, what the will and the heart of the master is. So we've talked about the word of God, and the next discipline I want to mention, and I pray that maybe in the course of our study we'll be able to look at it for some more detail, is the cultivating, okay, an investment of time in the secret place. It's the initial, you know, drive must come from that. If you are not having that investment, that initial investment of time in the secret place, then you will find that it does not flow into your public ministration. So anytime you look at a public demonstration of power, a public demonstration of healing, of miracles, it comes from a vessel's investment of time in the secret place. Okay, I pray that the Lord will give us understanding of that in Jesus' name. You know, the Bible talks about the disciples in the same way. When we look at the Acts, you know, Acts of the Apostles, you know, we see that these men had spent a lot of time, you know, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so we know in Acts chapter 10, verse 8, how God anointed Jesus with Holy Ghost and with power. So he came from that place of strength, okay? And then we see the disciples following in the same pattern, you know? And so we who are now studying, okay, must look back at some of those principles, understand what has been set in place, put as a path to follow. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, the NIV says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled. Some version says unlearned, okay? They didn't go to school. They're not educated men, ordinary men. They were outstanding, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. The verse highlights how the Jewish leaders were amazed by the apostles' boldness, realizing it came from their association with Jesus. In the same vein, if we spend time in the presence of the Most High, there's what rubs off on us for having been in his presence. Remember, I think it was Moses, after he had been, you know, in the presence of the Lord, he wasn't even conscious that his face was, you know, brightened, his countenance was really bright, and they had to cover his face so that people could look at him. You know, there is a fragrance, there is an unction, there's what we are able to tap into as a result of investing time first, the initial investment of time in the presence of the Lord. The Lord will give us understanding in Jesus' name. So this scripture says that boldness, okay, of Peter and John spoke with great courage, confidence, and authority despite being threatened, right? A sharp contrast to their previous fear. So these men spending time in the secret place suddenly were basking in a countenance of courage, of boldness and confidence, okay, and a lot of authority in spite of them being threatened or any persecution they experience. So that's what happens to each one of us. There are dimensions and forms of the authority and power that we get by basking and tabernacling in the presence of the Lord. The observers, the Sanhedrins, okay, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law were astonished by the apostles' lack of fear and their eloquent testimony. So it became apparent, just like it was in the case of Jesus, that he took some time off to be with the Father, okay, and was able to come out in the power of that presence that he carried to do great works. And so it was with the apostles following the same pattern. All right, so this is what was evident, was become evident to all observers, including the Sanhedrin, okay, the rulers and elders and the teachers of the law were quite astonished. So there was a clear distinction. These men they saw a few days ago, a few weeks ago, or they had known for some time, were quite different because of coming out of the presence of, you know, the Master. I pray the Lord grant us that same testimony, that same privilege, you know, for being in his presence. The Lord will help us as we obey in Jesus' name. So the disparity, they were uneducated men. The authorities realized the apostles were, you know, not schooled, and they were ordinary, okay, not trained in traditional rabbi schools, which made their bold and scriptural preaching more shocking. So they could tell that this was not the usual protocol that the rabbis were used to, and yet they demonstrated boldness and courage. So this is not mental ascent. This is not something they got from academic exercise. And so we need to understand that when we're looking at how we too can walk in and be vessels that can be evident to our world, living proof of the goodness of God, of the power of God in our lives and to our world. We'll take a break now, and we'll come back and see how far we can push the emphasis of the importance of this discipline, one of spending time in the Word of God. You know, so important, and knowing the source, all of this word, every scripture is God breath and is inspired by the Spirit of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. The Lord will grant us ability to understand this truth, not just be hearers of it, but doers also in Jesus' name. Catch you on the flip side of the break.
We sing together. Making your prayer.
You are mine.
twisted without borders, and we walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Come on, let it be your prayer. Spirit, lead me where my choice is without borders.
Africana, and this is Morning to You. Lovely track there by Oceans. I really love that track. Spirit, lead me to where my trust has no borders. May we trust in Him to such a degree that His Spirit will lead us and guide us into depths of the truth, deep revelations, you know. Right, so we're looking just before the break at the case in Acts chapter 4, and we looked at verse 13, and we recognize that this scene here is following Peter and John's healing of the lame man, which is documented in Acts chapter 3. So, you know, they came to the beautiful gate, and there was this man at the temple, and people was begging, you know, for alms, begging for a change of his circumstance in the way that he understood best. And so it is with many of us. There's some things we need, there are things that we want, and as we're studying more on our authority and power, we recognize that there is a work that has been finished, and we need to, like I said, to understand our covenant rights, our inheritance in Christ, what it is that God expects from us. And so the Word of God, studying the Word of God, which is in heavenly breath, okay, spirit breath, which is inspired by the Spirit of God. It helps us to understand this thing. But then when we look at how do we engage with the Spirit, one of the important disciplines we will learn is that of the secret place. And so we see that these men had been in that secret place. We know the Bible records that Christ had given them the instruction to tarry in Jerusalem, to wait till they be endued with this power. So they had waited, they had tarried according to to the master's instruction, and so they're taking delivery of this healing power. They're taking delivery of this authority, and it, you know, the Bible said, and the Spirit, you know, will be, you know, will rest upon them, did rest according to everything the master had told them. And so it is, that ministry still continues. There is a posture we have to have spiritually. There's a place we have to position ourselves. There's a place where we have to go in and spend time in the presence of the Most High, that we too might be endued with power from high. We too might be blessed and endowed with healing power, with giftings, with grace and an anointing, that we can come out and administer, okay, from that place of strength and authority and power into our world. But without the discipline of the secret place, then that is something that will continue to elude us. The Lord give us understanding concerning these things in Jesus' name. So these men evidently had demonstrated that in Acts chapter 3, in healing of the lame man. It says, silver and gold we have no, but what we have in the name of Jesus, using that authority, rise up and work. But that public demonstration, that manifestation, came from the initial investment of time in the secret place. May the Lord give us understanding concerning this in Jesus' name. So, some things that we need to recognize. This scene that we're looking at in Acts chapter 4 came as a result of the healing of the lame man, okay, in the name of Jesus, and preaching resurrection. So they recognize the resurrection. They explain to the people, what you are seeing is because of the person that went before us, him that you crucified, you know, the person that was killed, and is risen. And because of that power that he released to us, this man is being healed. It highlights that true authority and boldness in ministry are derived from the Holy Spirit rather than from academic training. This was very clear, you know, in Acts chapter 4. These men were not learned, so they recognized that this authority and power was not derived by anything traceable to an academic, you know, ability or a school they had been to. Not none of the sort, you know. And it serves as a testament that companionship with Jesus transformed ordinary people into bold witnesses. I want to really home in on the word companionship. You know, oftentimes a lot of us feel that when we come into the place of prayer, and you know, for a lot of believers, they seem to have this understanding that when we come into the presence of the Lord, our understanding of what that prayer, that fellowship, and that communion is about will determine what it is we can gain by access to his presence at that time. And oftentimes it's like coming to a father who has tremendous blessings, who has desires to bless his children, who has giftings which include healing, transformation, deliverance, restoration, and so much grace to give to his children. But a lot of people are focused on what they can get from God. They become consumers of the things that they get from God. And we bring that mentality from the world in which we're in. All we want to do is take, take, take. Whereas the person who is blessing you has a desire to tabernacle with you, has a desire for companionship with his children, has a desire to come into fellowship, communion with those that will come into his presence. This deep insight makes the difference. When you come into his presence, are you coming to take? Are you coming to because of what you received? I remember a story, I think it's in John chapter 6, and John chapter 6, Jesus had ministered to a multitude, okay, and had done different great works, and you know, gave them bread to eat. And then the next day, two gentlemen or some members of the public came back, and they were looking for Jesus in that story, and they traced that he had left and gone to the other side. Now, they didn't know this from the day before, but when they came and they were asking and inquiring about Jesus, they went to all the forms of transport, went to where the boats were, and they were so diligent in their searching, and eventually took a boat to the other side and asked Jesus, how did you get here? And they were able to ask that because they checked the manifesto. They checked the last boat that left where they were previously, and there was no record of him getting on the boat, but he walked on water to meet with the disciples. I'm saying all of this because he questioned them when they came, what have you now come for? More of what you received. So there are a lot of the multitude in the Old Testament, so there were more New Testament stories, particularly this one in John chapter 6, record that people came because of what they could get. A lot of people come not because of the communion, not because of fellowship, not because of companionship. And what I want to make understand here, the disciples recognize it wasn't about taking and, you know, just being consumers of the blessings of God or the things of God, but of seeking the person who is the blesser, seeking the heart of God, seeking to know the will of God and the mind of God. That rewards you far greater. He already knows from afar off what it is you seek before you came to him, the Bible records. So there's a deeper dimension of our communion, coming to common union with him, our fellowship, and, you know, the companionship that we can give. God cherishes us so much. He loves that companionship with his children, and I pray the Lord will cause us by his Spirit to be able to know the difference, to be able to make the shift, and so we too can become beneficiaries of having been in his presence. So the main thing I want to leave with us today is that when we begin to align our own hunger with the desire of our Father to have communion and fellowship with us, the result is, by default, whatsoever things you need will be added to you besides. And that's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, right standing with him, being in his presence, seeking to know his kingdom mandate, strategy, his will. Seek those things first. Every other thing will be added to you besides. I pray the Lord helps us to understand these things in Jesus' name. So we have to realize that the Father's heart is hungry for companionship with his children, and the Creator of the universe has a heart hunger for you. Too many people come into this place with requests, they come with petition because they need their bills paid, because they have a problem to be solved. They treat the secret place like an ATM or vending machine. You know, you need to change that approach, you know, to understand that there is a God that desires to tabernacle with you, that desires to have companion with you, a secret place where we satisfy his hunger. And when we satisfy his hunger for fellowship, and he satisfies our hunger for our needs, our resources being met, you know, by default. So once that is done, you do not need to come and beg. You do not need to make, you know, be pleading. You exercise your authority. You know what it is you are by your identity in the presence of God, and you reign and rule from an exalted position. You exercise authority and dominion from that place. So that is where the battle is won. That is where you rule from. That is where you decree and declare from, that exalted place. It says, come up hither, let me show you great and mighty things. There are greater things. Then, you know, if we can be exalted to that position, to tabernacle with him, if we can see things from his perspective, if we can see things the way he sees things, we can begin to speak the way he speaks, and then we'll find that as we speak the words that he speaks, that is revealed to us, then we too will begin to find, like the apostles, you know, recognize that there will be a public demonstration of your having been with him, being in his presence. I hope that this message is being communicated. So we're looking at two things we've established in our two sessions. One is the importance of the word. Without the word was nothing made that was made. Okay, the word should be our delight. In coming into the word, we are able to be changed and transformed even to a place where we know much more than our teachers, we know much more than the ancient. God wants you to increase, to be transformed, to come to a place of knowing of deep things, of greater things, from a deeper perspective. The second is our investment of time in the secret place, the investment of time in His presence, best investment of time ministering unto Him. Not just give me, no, that, you know, there's a place for that, you know, that's so important as well. But more than that, higher than that, is our just fellowshipping in His presence. They that wait upon the Lord shall be what? You know, energized. They shall be strengthened, they shall bolden. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah, I think it's 30, looking at 15 to 20, it says, in returning to the secret place, in returning to the place where we tabernacle with Him, there's where your strength shall be. That's where your confidence, that emboldenment will come from there. It's in knowing that He is our source. He is our sufficiency. All authority and power comes from Him and been delegated to us. But we must be people who are not worshiping and trying to, you know, take from His hands, rather that we come into a place of communion and fellowshipping with Him. The things you need by default will be released to you. He gives the keys of His treasure, the keys of His treasure to those that desire to tabernacle with Him. I'll take that slowly. He releases the keys of His treasure, of His resources, of the secret resources that we can get to those that desire to be with Him. It's not a key based on performance, not at all. It's not on you trying to do anything to get God to release. No, it doesn't work that way. But if you will come in with the key of intimacy, that unlocks all the resources, all the blessings of God. The Bible says the blessings of God that maketh rich and added no sorrow. May the Lord grant you understanding. May the Lord grant you access. May the Lord cause you to be ministered to overflow, so that every time that you are being poured into, every time that He, you know, fills up your cup, you minister from your overflow, and you know to go back to that place of rest, to recharge, to be reconnected. You know, God is a God of abundance. There's no supply problem with Him, and He wants us to understand that, you know. So that's just the main point that I wanted to communicate in our session today. We must also understand that the secret place is a legal environment. We'll try and look at that in some detail, okay? So there are technicalities. The enemy may want to come with you into that place. You have to be able to be still. You have to be able to deaden all the noises. And these disciplines help you to be still. You learn how to focus. You know, the scriptures helps us to understand that if our eyes are fixed on Him, you know, if our eyes are single, great will be your light. So it's in our ability to focus our hearts, our minds. The heart is singular. It's just on longing, desiring to be in His presence. Then great will be your light. You know, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. So we're learning this new lifestyle, all right? The righteous lifestyle. That righteous man that seeks and you know, yearns to be in the presence of the Most High, because you know that is where His source, His strength, His power, all of it stems from, being in the presence of God. I pray the Lord give you understanding. I pray that the Lord causes us to have hunger and thirst to, you know, be in that place, to tabernacle with Him, and that the benefits that accrue from having been in His presence, you know, the countenance changing, the grace of God upon your life, the anointing, the fragrance that lingers from having been in His presence, that and much more will be a blessing to you and your family in the name of Jesus. When we understand the secrets of the secret place, then we're able to have dominion, a power, and authority in the public place. The lack of, you know, proof of, you know, unction to function in the public place is an indication of maybe a lack of deposits first in the secret place. You can only draw on that which you have deposited in the first place. It's like you going to a bank account you have not deposited and now you want to make a withdrawal. It doesn't work like that. The first thing is to have put an input, a deposit, a significant deposit about at that, you know, to be able to draw from the wells of, you know, the wells of life, the springs that spring forth. It says, out of your belly shall spring forth rivers of living water. There's a lot that the Lord can cause to spring forth from your spirit man that is connected in communion and companionship with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. I pray the Lord give you understanding. I pray the Lord be merciful to you. I pray that you'll be able to not only tap into this extensive resource of God and the blessings of God that make it rich, but that God through you will minister to all those around you to be able to teach them, to train them, so that they too in their time of need can be able to draw from the place where there's no supply problem. Father, we just want to thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how you're helping us to understand these secret disciplines for sustaining authority and power, for sustaining our connectivity with the source of life. I pray, Lord, that each one that steps out in faith, believing and following through with your instructions will take delivery of the unction to function, that they will be living proof wherever they go, that they will testify of the goodness of God in the land of the living, that their ministration will change and transform the lives of those that come in contact with them. I pray that they'll be able to rise and shine, that men and women will come to the brightness of their shining and to their lifting also. May they be a blessing to all that come in contact with them. May they testify of the goodness of God. May their ministries go from strength to strength. May you bless them on every sphere, in every side. The Bible says the Lord, you know, triumphing over all evil, made a public shame. I pray that as you minister on behalf of the Lord will try cause you to triumph, to be victorious in every sphere, on every side, in every situation and every circumstance. Lovely people, till we meet again, it's been a lovely time being with you. We're just stepping into some disciplines that help us to sustain the authority and power and the flow of life into ministry, so that we are relevant in the sphere that matters and in our, you know, physical world around here. The Lord grant us understanding. Till we meet again, same time, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday and bye for now.
Was rich, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your side. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul for the first time. Laid inside my tomb of sin, you were.
have a guest here.
Glory to His name.